Wealth and Management.
Welcome to Burrows and Burbs with hosts John Engel and Roberto Cabrera. Over the next hour, you're going to learn some insider knowledge that will help you overcome and strategize in the cutthroat world of real estate. Now, here are your hosts, John and Roberto.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Burrows and Burbs 117 and the penultimate show of season three. I'm very excited. This is a big show. We're going to do sports and entertainment, something I don't know anything about, but that's why I got a lot of help this week. First, my co-host, what's your name?
Roberto Cabrera. I'm up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Excellent. And we've got several experts from around the country. I've got Lynn Mazin from Douglas Elliman. Where are you calling from?
Hi, thanks for having me. I am on the Upper East Side in New York City today.
All right. Justin Alias from the Nexus Relocation Network. Where are you calling in from?
I am in sunny Miami.
But you also do Detroit, right?
Detroit, licensed in California as well.
All over, wherever the business
takes you. I help athletes nationwide, so I've done deals in probably half the states.
Love that. And I've got Ian Peters. Where are you from, Ian?
Yes, sir. Born and raised Toronto, Canada. My business is based out of New York City, and I happen to be calling from California right now. Beautiful San Diego.
Awesome. And I think we have Lydia. Lydia, are you on?
I am.
Lydia Sussex from New York. Welcome,
New York,
Lydia.
New York. Thank you. From New York. We are also from Nantucket, and I'm in Armonk, New York at the moment.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, so today, well, let's just get right into it. Sports and entertainment. But before we do, I just want to, let's see, I'll pull it up on the screen. There they are. Those are my guests. Lynn, hey. Justin, Ian, Lydia, you've met them. I want to thank our sponsor, Grace Farms. You'll find them at gracefarms.org. That is a picture of their beautiful river building on their 80-acre campus in New Canaan, Connecticut. Go to gracefarms.org and check out all the great things that they're doing for sustainability in the world and in the building trades in particular. And I'm going to send a gift from Grace Farms to each one of you. And if you like it, you should send a gift to your clients from Grace Farms. With that, I've got Ian. That's Ian. That's a better picture of Ian. There's Lynn. That's in New York. There's Justin. And you see, he's all over the place. Very stylish Instagram page.
Last name, Elias, by the way.
Elias. All right. Justin Elias. And with that, let's begin. Who wants to tell me, in your own words, really, what's different about working for the celebrity athletes and stars than it is working with regular folks? Lynn? I would think that they're very guarded. That they're very guarded, and it's very hard to get to know them. Is that true?
I wouldn't say that. I would say everybody, and it doesn't matter where you're from originally or what you do for a living, everyone is always excited to move to New York City. This is where the magic happens. It doesn't matter what country you come from, what state you come from. Everyone, there's a special magic in the city, and everyone is excited to be here. So what I do is I bring the experience. Most of the people coming to New York City, particularly in the sports and entertainment space, they're here to live a full life. They're passionate about what they do. They're successful, and they really want to embrace it. They are usually at a position in their career, an inflection point in their career, where they've achieved a certain amount of success, and they're here to make their dreams come true. And I'm here to be a meaningful part of that experience for them.
Sounds like you get to meet these people when they're in their honeymoon stage. That true, Ian? You know, they signed the big contract, they're getting shipped to a new market. They're very excited, as you said, about this new possibilities. You get them at the honeymoon stage of their lives.
Some of them, yes. I've dealt with some that are local already, so they're well familiar with New York City and everything that goes on there, the pace of business. And I've dealt with ones in the honeymoon. It's their first time stepping on New York City's, you know, court fields, whatever, you know, stadiums. and they're super excited. Their family's excited. It's a cool time. It's a good moment. And even before that, to answer your question about what's different, you're dealing with teams of people sometimes. You're dealing with assistants. You're dealing with business managers. You're dealing with their friend. You're dealing with their wife, their girlfriend, their spouse. It's not always directly with them. So that's different from the average client, I would say.
Yeah, Lydia was mentioning that a little bit earlier. Maybe you want to pop in here, Lydia. But I think you said that almost 100% of the time it's through a referral. I mean, very few of us hang out on a daily basis with athletes by the nature of their business. They're being moved around a lot, and maybe they're at a different stage in their lives, you know, than we are. So we end up working with their agents and their families and a lot of other people. And to add to that, they're being referred to us. Is that true, Lydia?
She's on mute.
Yeah.
Hi. Yes.
Go ahead.
In my experience, 99% of the athletes, actors, diplomats, people that have special needs are referred to me directly. And we normally do deal with them as we deal with all of our clients as VIPs, any level of client, be it a celebrity or not. The only difference, and we were discussing this earlier, is that when we come to the deal time, instead of asking them for their financials, we're usually dealing with a lawyer or a CPA or a business manager. So, and the negotiations are sort of done once they pick the place. The negotiations are done without them, is my experience. That we do, I do it for them. Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting them at an exciting time in their lives. We're dealing with a team, and the relationship is generally referred to us. What else can we say about this? Anyone? Justin.
I mean, I'll say from my experience, I've done so many deals with athletes. A lot of times it's relationship centric. So you're getting them a rental property first. They come to a new city like Miami, like Detroit. I'm helping them get a rental. I'm helping them furnishing the place. Sometimes it's a 6-month lease. But then that relationship is, all right, in a year or two, when he gets his new contract, now I'm helping him to buy a place. So it's very relationship-centric. You have to be willing to do rentals in the beginning. You have to be willing to help them with the move if they're moving to a new city, to a new market, furnishing. So there's a lot of different factors, I think, in place. It's very different from working with a normal client. That makes sense.
It is. Go ahead.
That was just my question initially. Was like, I would imagine the overwhelming majority of these transactions are rentals in the first place, because you don't know the uncertainty that a 1-year contract, that's it, or whatever the case may be. And I would imagine that leads to multiple transactions actually with
this particular
client.
Typically, if they're a new player, 9 times out of 10, they're going to rent. They're not going to buy. So that new player, you know, he gets a small contract in the beginning. Then he performs well for the team. After 2 to 3 years, he gets a much bigger contract. And at that point, his team is going to advise him to buy a place. So
the younger players or the newer people, the less experienced, of course, like I'm sure like an Aaron Rodgers comes with an enormous entourage of people, and you don't see him until like the fourth showing, and you've whittled it down to like 3 apartments or 3 houses. And he's like, I like this one. Exactly. But in the people who make that initial contact for the younger people, is it like an agent? Is it an attorney who calls you? I can imagine it's very rarely the athlete who's calling you and saying, hey, I got to find a place right away.
I would say sometimes it's the athlete. If they're new to the team, they're coming to the market, they'll inquire about a rental. And then half the time their sports agent will call me directly. So I would say it's 50-50. Sometimes, like you said, their girlfriend's helping them, someone from their entourage. But from my experience, I would say it's usually their sports agent or themselves.
And Justin, you're in Miami and Detroit, and I just heard that you referred a piece of business to Lynn. How important is the referral network? Because you can't be everywhere. And so you develop the relationship with the athlete, but then they might get bounced all around the country. You have to have relationships in every major market, right?
Yeah, and I don't know how much Lynn told you about our network, but I created this network called Nexus. So Nexus is a network of realtors from all different brokers. You know, Lynn's with Douglas Elliman, I'm with Compass. For me, it's just about the relationship and who I think is a good fit for the network. So we developed this network. We had some of the top realtors in sports and entertainment in our network, really high profile clients. We have retired athletes in our network, wives of athletes. And it's just, you know, I created this to create a place for, you know, like-minded realtors like myself can refer clients to each other. So I think having a solid network is very important.
And how do you vet the people in your network? Because I would imagine that, you know, when you have these very important relationships, longstanding relationships, you know, it's hard if you don't know these people well in the network. So talk to me about how you get the network vetted.
So typically we ask for 5 million in sales at a minimum. And then we have a questionnaire. We ask them, you know, what athletes or what sports and entertainment clients have you represented? How many transactions have you done? And we kind of just do our research and make sure they're a good fit for the network. So, and I think Lynn can attest. I mean, we have, high caliber people in the network. We're very collaborative. So,
got a good story for me? Because it sounds like so wonderful, right? The athlete, they signed with the New York Jets or the Knicks or whatever. They get their first $1 million. They get referred into you and you're like, yep, I can help you. But it's probably the reality is a whole lot harder than that. They show up. They don't have any time to go out looking. They probably have an entourage. So you never really get a lot of FaceTime with the client, I'm imagining, or never enough FaceTime to really understand what it is they want. You have to collect all this information for the co-op board or for the rental, and it's probably not a whole lot of housing history. I mean, talk to me about some of the unique challenges that we're going to deal with that make it a very hard business to be working for athletes and celebrities.
I think you're overthinking it, John. They're people just like we are. They're not that much harder than our most easy clients. You know, if anything, they're easier because they know what they need and they need to get it faster than someone who's just coming in and starting their search and they're dilly-dallying. So for us, I think it's easier for someone who's immediately moving. They immediately need a space. Sometimes we help them get interim housing. Most of the time, and I agree with Justin, they're renting. And just to tell you the funniest thing that ever happened to me when I was dealing with an athlete who was coming in to open up a soccer team in New York, walking around town, he and his girlfriend wanted to walk around town. They didn't want the entourage. They just wanted to see New York. So we drove them around and it was just very basic. And all I could think of was, you know, these are just people like we are. The only difference is chefs and dishwashers come out of the kitchens to come see them. That's the only difference. And they take pictures with everyone because they love it.
I'm going to disagree. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of celebrity experience, but I'm going to say that I had one who said, I'm going with the family to England. Oh, why? Well, I just bought a sports team there. Well, how long are you going to be gone? I'm not really sure. Well, what do you need me to do? Are we going to sell your house? Are we going to rent your house? I don't, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't know how long I'm going to be, you know, over there. I might need to come back. I might need to keep the house. So I find that I also put a New York Rangers hockey player, and he was like 22, and I put him into a rental, and you know, he had a different set of challenges that I don't usually encounter. You know, tell me about your job history. Well, I was with the Rangers and I was in the farm system. And then I was over here and I was over there. And it was a little bit challenging to get a landlord to take a chance on somebody that they regarded to be not super wealthy and rather transient. So I do think that they have a unique set of challenges working with these folks. The other thing I've found is they're intensely private. And if they don't show up with an NDA, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I think you actually touched on something interesting. It's why in this particular niche of the market in sports and entertainment, it's really critical to work with somebody who has particular expertise, because we have insight into what their needs are that they might not necessarily be aware of. And like you said, it could be a little bit transient. You could just be here for 9 months, or you could be here for 5 years. You really don't know. And I think we have very good visibility and a good appreciation how to help them find a new home that probably is a valuable investment for them, whether it's a short-term investment or a long-term investment. We also are cognizant that this is an asset, if particularly if they're purchasing, it's an asset within their portfolio. And we want to find something ideally that appreciates and gives them additional value in the, within their scope of their portfolio, because they're going to own stocks and bonds and real estate. A lot of times we partner with their financial manager and they really ask us, what's a good investment? Where do you think they should be? Where do they have security? Where is their discretion? And I do think for certain advisors, they really value working with people that have experience in the space, because we have really good insight and can give them good direction.
Have you guys represented any controversial athletes, not by name necessarily, but that you're trying to rent something and there's been resistance because this person was, you know, they come from, you know, the Cowboys and they were always a problem and, you know, whatever the case may be. Have you guys encountered any sort of resistance with certain athletes, and how did you overcome those?
I'll say, yes, I have. And I really leveraged my own reputation. I was just in a position. I'm like, listen, take my word for it. You're going to love them. They're going to be a valuable member to your community. You're going to love them as much as I do. And, you know, it's a little bit of a, if you have a good reputation in the market, my clients have a good reputation in the market. In the end, they're great neighbors and great friends within the community where they live. And sometimes I leverage my own reputation to make the magic happen for them.
I'll say that, you know, I work with some music artists and I tend to get more pushback on artists than I do. I think athletes are very, you know, like disciplined and they have a serious job and they're up in the morning. But music artists, yeah, I've tend to gotten some pushback from landlords certain times.
Yeah, I can see that. It's not the
can
old
you be
days.
More specific, Justin? I mean, what is it a landlord might be nervous about? I remember the old stories about rock stars, you know, trashing hotel rooms. But really, does a landlord worry about the physical? Are they worried about the credit? What are they worried about?
I think they're just worried more about like the parties and the damage to the house. You know, I've worked with a couple pretty big rappers, and I've had definitely some big pushback from the listing agent or from the landlord, just because they were worried about the parties in the house and everything that's going to go on. So,
and you say, don't worry about that. That's just what they're trying to project out there. The reality is that they're home in bed by 8 every night.
Exactly.
And that's say, what, hey, that's you what we have insurance for.
Yeah, insurance charge two security deposits, you know. So,
see, Lynn is wired into this business because she has an answer right away. That's what we have insurance for. Are you kidding? I love it. Ian, what kind of athletes are you encountering in New York? Are these, what kind of celebrities? Athletes, rap stars? Is there a difference?
I've encountered actors, athletes, pop singers, lots of difference because it's very nuanced. It's based on my relationship that I've had with them, if I had one with them previously, or somebody in their camp. My background being in video production for 18 plus years, my own company in Toronto, Department of Media, loaned itself to working with a lot of these athletes and entertainers, from doing commercials for them, interstitial spots and PSAs. And so I already had a relationship with them or that industry or somebody in their camp or, you know, their manager previous to my real estate career. And then I rolled that into my real estate career, and that trust was already there. The rapport was already there. They've probably seen me progress in real estate and then came to me just off of that. You know, I already knew a bit about them. I knew what they liked, their style. My tone of conversation with them, what it's like, who I'm dealing with, and how close that person is to the actual entertainer or athlete. Or sometimes I'm dealing directly with the athlete because I know them, or I know their parent, or I know it's or I know their coach. So it's such a, they're all different, man. They're really all different, you know?
If I don't come from an industry like production, how do I get in front of these people? It's interesting to me that you said it was because you came from an industry that connected you with sports stars and celebrities and musicians and actors, which I thought that's an interesting subcategory. But you had prior relationships. How does John Shore in Boston get in front of that Japanese pitcher that the Red Sox no doubt are going to sign for $200 million this week? How does John Shore get in front of a Japanese pitcher? Does he have to make a relationship with the Red Sox in order to do that?
I mean, I can't answer for everybody. For me personally,
getting way too specific, because I thought John might not be paying attention, but now he's paying attention.
Myself personally, I don't really aim to be in front of that Japanese pitcher from the Red Sox and be so specific. The clients I've had have come to me organically. I love it that way. I love what I do, and word of mouth has been my best marketing. It's been a funny journey for me getting to working with sports athletes and entertainers, in that I used to say I did, even when I didn't, and blah, 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 and nothing was happening. The second I kind of became quiet about it, less marketing, less, more discreet, that's when they came, and I've kept it that way. I don't really promote it too much. I like it that way. And the more I've gone down that road, the more business has come from these individual people, because the trust is there. So I've had no need to run around town and say I'm dealing with so-and-so, or I want to get in front of so-and-so's pitcher or agent, because you know, I'm in meetings with that manager or that sports athlete's, you know, management, and they'll tell me, oh, we got a player coming up next year. He's finishing from University of Texas. We're going to need a place for him. So I got that in the pipeline, and that's how I get in front of my clients.
So you're just falling into this niche, meaning it came from a prior career and you've got great relationships. But for Jennifer in Jupiter, who says, you know, there's a lot of golfers in this market, I need to get in front of them. Or Nicole in Scottsdale. Scottsdale is known for being a baseball mecca. How do we get in front of? Do we have to get in front of the
room? I'll give you guys.
Leverage that. Leverage that. Find a way to leverage that. If you're in a place as high golf, you better find a way to sell it.
Feel free to pop in, Nicole or Jennifer, and tell us. If there's a way to get yourself in front of these people, I'd like to hear what it is. I think that that's what a lot of us are wondering. Is this an opportunity that we're missing out on? And is there something more we could be doing? I mean,
I'll give you guys a quick tip.
Go ahead.
So our network just completed a really nice event at the MLB Winter Meetings. So our network does events at all the major sporting events. So we went to MLB Winter Meetings in Nashville. The MLB Winter Meetings is held at a different city every single year. So we did an event there. Me, myself, and my team, we went to the Winter Meetings. I met a bunch of different people in the baseball space, sports agents, financial advisors, people that work on the teams. And then they actually came to our event after. So I think if you're really in sports and entertainment, you need to be at these events. I think it's so important for what we do. And that's my opinion.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, we do, our network does events at NBA Summer League. We're planning something for the NFL draft. So, you know, I know a lot of realtors talk about sports entertainment, but I don't meet too many realtors at these events. So I think for me, that's huge.
Yeah, Dustin, how big is your specific team of people that, for example, organized and went to, for example, Nashville?
Well, our network, we have over 100 members in it. It's growing every single day. But I think we had about 30 members from our network at the event. And then we had sports agents there. We had financial advisors. We had a few athletes pop in. So we had probably had 100 people at the event, but from our network specifically, it was about 30.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that. It's like every industry. You have to physically put your body where the action is. So like, I want to say a few years ago when the Super Bowl was in LA, I was like, yes, it would be a great time to go to the Super Bowl. But I went to the Super Bowl because I met a lot of people participating in the sports and entertainment industry that were also there. Conferences, regardless of what industry you're in, you go to industry conferences, and sports and entertainment are very much the same way. And the other thing that I find very valuable in this space, a lot of sports and entertainment people are very cognizant of making a difference in the world. They all have charities and groups that they give back to. If you support them and you organically help them live, you know, make they're trying to help other people and do things to make the world a better place. If you go to their events and you make contributions and you help support them, that actually comes back to you, and that people are really valuable. They really value your support. So if there's a way that I could do something to help somebody else, and whether it's in sports and entertainment or any industry, that always really helps you professionally in the long run.
Nice.
I want to come back to Justin. So if, let's say, the way to be serious about this industry is to join a network, to be in the places where they congregate. But I would imagine small markets and large markets are probably different. I work the Connecticut market. You probably say, John, you'd be wasting your time going to the winter meetings or the NFL combine because you're in Connecticut, and athletes would regard Connecticut, frankly, as too far from the major airports and stadiums and sporting venues, and too far from Broadway, is too far from everything. So imagine that certain agents around the country have the benefit of being, like Roberto, of being in the markets where athletes and celebrities want to be. Is that fair? Does geography matter?
I mean, I was in Detroit, and Detroit, there's a lot of Detroit sports teams there, but they don't necessarily buy in Detroit. So I would say there's twofold to that question. A lot of times athletes will buy where they grew up. So if they grew up in Connecticut, they're going to buy. And the other piece is, just because you're not licensed in California doesn't mean you can refer that client to an agent in California, and you can still get a piece of that commission. So I would say, you know, no matter what market you're in, you can be in sports and entertainment. It's just about, like, I do probably over 50 referrals a year. You know, I have partners all over the country. I'm not in Texas. I'm not licensed in Texas. I'm not licensed in Nevada, but I still send referrals there. So.
But when you refer into Texas, I would imagine that your clients want to be within a half hour of a major airport, because they're always on, athletes and celebrities are always on the road. So they would say, so you would be looking for an agent who knew that area particularly well, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if they're playing for the team, if they're playing for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously they're going to need a place in Dallas. But if they grew up in a different part of Texas, they're probably going to buy in their hometown. You know what I mean? So it just depends on the player's needs and what the situation is. But to answer your question, I think you can be in sports and entertainment no matter what market you're in.
How many foreign athletes are you guys dealing with? Like a basketball player from like Serbia or something like that. And what complexity does that present?
I've dealt with some foreigners, and it's not that complex. You just have to have a very good lawyer in your local area, which for me is New York, who speaks their language. And that's, I think, the scariest thing for foreigners is if it's not in their language, they're afraid to sign a contract unless they have somebody guiding them. I actually speak several languages, so I can help with that. But it's nice to have another voice who's an objective professional confirming everything that we're telling them. And that also gives you credibility with them and helps you to get their referral going out.
When you're dealing with these big entourages, do you encounter certain situations that I have where they are, because you don't have a relationship, and they're so protective of the talent that it's they don't realize you're doing your absolute best to help them, but it's almost adversarial. And it takes time to break that down. There was this one model that I dealt with early in my career. And when the model finally came to the appointments, I mean, she's 4 feet away from me, and she would be talking to like the assistant. She would say, can you ask him if the air conditioning, and I'm just like, it's okay. I'm right here. You can talk to me. You know, it bothered me so much. I just like put my hand on her arm and I totally diffused her. But she was like such a prima donna type of personality. It took a while to break that down, but it took me to be there to break that down, because the entourage had built them up to be this overwhelming thing. How do you break that down?
I break through it. I deal with it until I just deal with it. I can't tell you I break it down. I'm not here to ruffle any feathers, but I can definitely attest to dealing with some crazy family members, partners, lovers, whatever it might be, that they think they're helping. They're so not. And, you know, you just gotta, it's just, again, back to being nuanced. You really got to just like frame it in a way, like, listen, like, this is really the better way for you. And here's how you're going to benefit from going this way or furnishing it that way or doing it on this date. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's got an amazing horror story?
I'm dealing with one right now.
I may know what that is, but
there's that one too, but I'm dealing with another one right now with an athlete and furnishing the place and having paid and hired the interior designer already, and she's set to go, her furniture's ordered or ready to go. And then last minute, someone else is coming in and wanting to do some other things and whatnot. So they might be watching. I'm not going to call it a horror story yet, but I have nothing but love for them, and they're close to me. They know that. I'm just trying to work through something and do the best I can for this person. And there's some extras that are not needed.
Extra complications, extra communication, a lot more opinions, a lot more people involved than the typical transaction.
I was involved in a transaction in Miami for a pretty high profile player. He rented a place like $50,000 a month and in Miami Beach, and his manager wanted the keys before he sent the wire out, the move-in funds. And he was so adamant about it, and I was able to convince the owner and the listing agent, and we got the keys. But he was so adamant about getting the keys. I was like, this is not how it's done, you know? So I've dealt with that a couple of times. That was kind of nail biting.
Yeah.
In my market, see, I'm not dealing with 25-year-old athletes. I will say that in suburban, you know, Connecticut, and we're probably 45 minutes from LaGuardia Airport. And this is where a lot of people come if they want privacy. They'll come out to Greenwich, Connecticut, Westport. It's a little bit far from the airport if you are on the schedule that requires you to get on a plane every week. So we ended up with celebrities, you know, in this town like Paul Simon. When Paul Simon comes to town, you know, he can go out on tour for a great long period of time and then come back to home. And when he wants to be home, he said, you know, I picked a place like New Canaan because I could raise my family here, and I'm not, and people leave me alone. And I'll never forget this. When he came and he addressed the Rotary Club of New Canaan, and he said, you know, some celebrities basically use the media, you know, to promote, you know, themselves and their business, and the media then get to, you know, take certain privileges. He said, if you make it clear to them that you know, you're a very private person, he said, for the most part, they respect that and they leave you alone. And therefore, I'm able to pick a place in suburban Connecticut and live a relatively normal life. I found that, you know, that's why a lot of the celebrities around here, and I'm going to say that they're in the over 40 or over 50 category, Brian Cashman, who runs the Yankees, you know, he's not a player for the Yankees. He runs the Yankees. He lives out here. Jim Nance, who's like a sports director, you know, who talks the Masters and football. You know, he's the kind of person.
What about 50
who live out here
50
in the
Cent,
in the suburbs?
50 Cent had a place in Miami or in Connecticut, didn't he? That Mike Tyson mansion.
But I think so. I'd like to hear about what are some of the priorities for what they're choosing, because when Paul Simon picked it was because it was a sleepy kind of place, and that worked for him at that stage of his life. Same thing with Jim Nance. What are your clients looking for? What's priority? Is it privacy? Is it closeness to an airport?
Like top of mind for me is proximity to the team's airport. Another one is based on the season of their sport or Broadway show or what it might be, is traveling over bridges and tunnels that might get blocked. That's been a thing I've noticed. So that travel in the winter, snow, Ian, is there hills, is there mountains that you can worry about? Because some of them, it's their first time seeing snow on top of that. Another choice might be children. I've had, you know, this children being planned for in the future. So we need X amount of bedrooms in this kind of neighborhood with this kind of schooling system, with this kind of rating. I've had they don't want to be close to water. They got a fear of water. They don't want to do nothing near rivers, oceans. We want to be inland as much as possible, Ian. Fear of flooding. So many different reasons, but it's been an interesting array of reasons, things I've never even thought of.
I think that commute point you just made, if I'm a New Yorker, if I'm a New York athlete or sports star who needs to get on the on an airplane, two of the three major airports in New York are in Queens. And I would therefore say, oh, I'd probably, all things being equal, locate them on Long Island, except it's so difficult to get around on Long Island. I mean, you do have the great schools on Long Island, but it's tough to get around.
Hold on a second, John. I heard you count yourself out earlier for being in Connecticut. You're actually close to a very important private airstrip over there. I won't call the name of it, but they actually want to be closer to that. You're actually more in the game than you think by service in the Connecticut area, because that is close to a private airplane, private airport. So it isn't really about the LaGuardias and the JFKs. It's actually about the private air.
So as a realtor, I need to get smarter about the private airports in my area if I want to do business with that kind of client.
Well, consider it. Just don't count yourself out like you initially did.
I love it.
Do you guys work with any super young athletes where it's really for example, there's a young tennis prodigy and the whole family moves to Florida and you invest in that? And because you anticipate that athlete has got a tremendous promise, and you create that relationship from a very young, it's almost like farming them out. Some minor league players in, you know, AAA players that are like the next, you know, the guy from the Dominican Republic who's coming in, and he's just like, he is going to have a massive contract in the next handful of years. Do you pursue that? Do you have any relation to that? Do you have any experience with any of those?
Jennifer, you can jump in here. I know you're in Jupiter, Florida. My sister just moved down there, and I said, oh, so talk to me about being on the East Coast, you know, Southeast Florida. And she said, I have to be close to an airport because I have to take my son to different tournaments. I have to get on an airplane every week with my son. And so I'm watching families move down to Florida to be close to the training facilities and close to the airports more and more, and those schedules more and more. My sister can't afford to take a private jet, Ian, so she's got to pick the regular airports like the rest of us.
Noted.
What about spring training for baseball? Is that a market for you guys, or are they housed by the teams?
I mean, me personally, I get a ton of requests for spring training. I think Jennifer, she's based in Jupiter, so a lot of the guys, they go to Tampa or Port St. Lucie, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Honestly, I always just do everything I do for the relationship. I mean, we don't make any money from spring training, but I've housed a lot of guys for spring training. They're $2,000, $3,000 rentals, but I just do it to help for the relationship that I have with the sports agent or the manager. So but that's how, it. How I always get requests for that every year.
When some of these bigger athletes, when it comes to their budget for housing, does it come from them, or are you dealing with the franchise where they're actually paying that?
No, I'm always usually just dealing with like what I said, with their agent or themselves. They usually pick the budget, so, or their financial advisor. I never dealt with the team directly.
Yeah, same. It's not that centralized. I see Perry just asked, what about player associations? That is an intriguing idea. If you're really looking to break into this industry and get more connectivity, you really have to think a little bit outside the box. Who has the most touch points, particularly in the sports, whether it's the NBA, the NFL players associations, people involved in that capacity. And where I find a lot of success is there are financial managers and taxation experts that specifically focus on the sports and entertainment space. They're great sources of referrals. They're definitely people to connect with, reach out to, support their events, attend their conferences, because they are definitely in the flow. And they're always looking for realtors where an interesting and critical part of their network when they're helping move clients around the country.
I'm going to take this opportunity to tell Justin, I definitely want to talk to you about connecting over your network, because I will need some spring training assistance with spring training.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think what's nice too is we have an in-house corporate housing specialist. So for stuff like that, I go to her a lot of times, and she'll just get apartments and she'll furnish them for the players and set them up for 2 months. So it's nice to have those resources.
Nice.
Do you do any of that in the Southwest?
Southwest Florida?
No, Arizona as well.
Arizona, I think, is the second or third market for spring training. So yeah, we've done some stuff in Arizona. Arizona is funny. Is in our network, we actually have two or three retired athletes. Arizona is probably one of the biggest hubs for athletes to buy or when they retire. Really, really good market. So,
Nicole, are you dealing with athletes in Arizona?
Yes, absolutely. Primarily NFL, but we do get a lot of traffic, obviously, through spring training. And yeah, absolutely. But my firm specifically works more often with NFL. So August is our kind of season for helping with rentals or purchasers. And most all of our sports and entertainment came from agents like everyone on the call. So we haven't had one sports and entertainment referral not come through another real estate brokerage. So this is great. Great to be here.
Very seasonal market or year round?
You know, I would say this year we're going to start going back to being a more seasonal market. I'm starting to see a lot of people say, well, I'm coming out here seasonally, and then they end up staying. So a lot of our athletes were on the third, fourth, fifth transaction where they're upsizing and then saying, I'm actually staying here. I'm not going back to Kansas, or I'm not going back to the East Coast after I'm done playing. So most of our athletes are towards the end of their career. So lower risk in terms of rentals, as well as typically have a little bit bigger of a budget.
And do they say to you that I want to be in Paradise Valley, I want to be in the right neighborhood, and I know that's like a brand name neighborhood out there, or do they say, I still need to be close to the airport, so can you find me a really great house or a great property that's more convenient? So are they neighborhood centric or are they convenience centric?
I would say a mix of both, depending on the client. Paradise Valley is actually very close to the airport, so both the private air park as well as our commercial airline airport. But I would say where we've also partnered with a lot of the financial advisors. So oftentimes, because our athletes are at a later stage in their career, and I don't know if that just specifically has to do with the Cardinals and just the nature of that, the team structure, but we're fortunate in that we have very reasonable clients that sometimes will say, you know what, I don't need Paradise Valley, nor Scottsdale is good. The training facility is actually in the Southeast Valley, which is a little more suburban. So we are working with a lot of clients that say they think that they want that big $5, $10 million house. And we've talked a few of them out of it based on recommendations from their advisors, just from a longevity standpoint. That's been a lot of our conversations specifically this year.
I think it's interesting. Yes. Who wants to talk about the fact that an athlete or even a singer's career could be a very short short but very bright, but for a short period of time? And I've got to be thinking that for many of these people, they say, I only have a short window of opportunity to make some money, and I've got to put it into real estate that's going to hold its value. They look at the real estate as an investment, as a really important investment, and they got to make it last. Who can talk to me about that, the mindset of the professional athlete or star who says, you know, these are my money making years, but I've got to put this, I got to build a nest egg. Talk to me.
Yeah, it's a great question. And if they work with really good advisors that are sophisticated, they get very good guidance. And that is a little bit what sometimes distinguishes somebody who's very young in their career versus somebody who's very seasoned. The seasoned people have advisors, and like Nicole was saying, they might want to spend X amount of dollars, but if they're working with very good advisors, they realize that the lifespan of that career could be a bit shorter. And they actually give them good guidance that they shouldn't overspend or overinvest in any particular city. But again, that's where our expertise comes in. Your home is your security, regardless of what industry you're in. Your home is your safety zone. Like, this is where your family is going to live. You're going to live. This is your security into your future. And if you're giving them good guidance, you want to buy something that's safe and secure and ultimately will appreciate and hopefully make you good money long-term as an investment.
Some of these athletes, like these really super young guys, or, you know, even women in whatever sport where they're, I mean, they're really young and immature. They just, you can tell when you're showing them certain things that they're just like, I'm going to blow this place out, you know, as far as having parties and everything
else. It could be sexy, frankly, real estate can be sexy and there's a lot of flash and cash, but most of them get it out of their system. They buy a hot car and you can't do that much damage with a car.
That's a good idea.
It should be approached the same way you're buying your stocks and bonds. Like I said, this is your asset. This is security. This is where your family is going to be. And it should be a thoughtful process if it's done right.
I'm not as I wish I was that pushy to be pushing investment properties on these athletes and entertainers I deal with, but I'm not. I just listen when it comes to that kind of thing, and I'll advise on who you could speak to. I got somebody I could put in front of you, but that's not my thing.
I would imagine that for most of them, as you pointed out, the flash and the cash, but I'm hearing that you ought to be advising them to be renting at least for those first couple years of their contract when they're basically on a 1-year deal, 2-year deal, until they finally know where they're going to be settled long term. I'm sure that they have a temptation to buy and buy big, and that it's their realtor who needs to say to them, now, you know, I know you want to buy and buy big, but I think it was Justin who said he's the king of $2,000 and $3,000 rentals. And I thought that's got to take some self-discipline to be able to say, okay, listen, we're just down here for spring break. You don't have to own. You could have you're only down here for a few months. Then you've got a 1-year deal. You know, let's talk about your long-term needs when they're in clear focus. And for a 22-year-old, their long-term needs can't be in focus yet.
Yeah, I think they're at that age. They're not really thinking about real estate. They're really focused on their career and their craft. But actually, we have a couple retired athletes in our network that I've seen transition from football to now all they do strictly is invest in real estate, multifamily, some single-family properties, commercial. So that's been really cool to see them transition and take their wealth, whatever they earned, $15, $20 million out from their career and then invest that into real estate. So I think it's something from me personally, I've seen them focus more after they retire because, you know, when they're in season and they're training, they're focused on their craft. So
are you seeing now that college athletes are making money? Have you been approached by any of them for help? Anything?
Yeah.
I haven't been approached, as far as them wanting to buy real estate yet. So me personally, no. But I think if they're getting big NIL deals, that means they're probably going to make it to whatever the professional sport, whatever they're going to, whether it's basketball or football. So I think once they're a professional athlete, then they'll be able to buy something. So I don't know if anyone else here has worked with college athletes, but I haven't personally.
So how do we get involved with your network? Do we send you an application?
Yeah.
Send you an email?
I'm interested.
Yeah, with my picture? With my picture in my bio? I mean, I think that, you know, even though I'm a little bit far from, LaGuardia, I learned that I have a private airport near me. I think I can be of help. So how do I get involved, Justin?
We have an application. It's on our website, and I can also email it to you. And yeah, it's just about relationships. If you're a good fit for the network, we have 3 or 4 members in certain markets. So we're a little bit capped on some markets right now, but as we grow, you know, we're always looking for the right people to get involved. It's all about relationships. So.
And how about you, Lydia? Before we got on the phone, you talked about relationships. I mean, that was the key word you left me with, which was, that even though it may seem to the outsider like a very transitory time, you get referred in to an athlete who needs space for a short period of time until the next contract. But you said, no, no, no. It's all about long-term relationships and referrals. Talk to me more about that.
Well, I think for my take on the real estate industry, I think those of us who are in it for the long haul are not looking for the immediate deal. We're looking for the long-term relationship, the repeat referral, the repeat confidence of our clients. So I sort of have lucked out. I mean, I've always kept in touch with everybody I meet, just like all of us on this Zoom here. We talk to people about real, people talk to us about real estate. So it's a natural progression, but I don't know. What was the question?
About the referrals and relationship. You can either join a formal network like Justin and work the network, but you said, no, I don't belong to a formal network, but I do get referrals. And I thought, okay, how do you make these long-term relationships and referrals?
Well, personally, I've lived all around the world. I've met lots of different types of people, and I've always kept in touch with the networks that I've created. Sometimes I'm referred by an embassy for someone coming in from overseas because I do speak several languages. I also have a concierge on staff who used to be one of the top concierges in New York, and she speaks five languages. So I think we supply not just the opportunity to secure a property, but we do the whole picture. We're almost a concierge service in our own, where we do A to Z, just like some of us were talking about, even furnishing apartments, handling a move, getting babysitters, getting, you know, finding out all the pieces that allow them to come move into our communities. You know, sometimes I'll get a call in the middle of the night. Who's your pediatrician? My kid has a fever. Or, you know, these are, again, the older people who are already established. And then I also follow some of them. I had a hockey player. He was transferred to Tampa. So, you know, we keep in touch. And I knew he was going to get married to the girl he was dating. I just knew it. You know, these become our friends. They're not just clients.
Were you able to refer lifelong him? Friends. Were you able to refer the hockey player into Tampa? Or does his organization provide that for him?
Actually, I didn't even have a chance to, because by the time he told me he was leaving, he had already been transferred. But since then, I've started to mention to people that should the opportunity occur to move, that I'm part of not just Douglas Elliman and Knight Frank, but our referral network is worldwide. I myself, like Justin, I do over 50 referrals a year, and outside the network, outside the era. There have been years where we do more outside than inside. So I believe that just talking to people, communicating well, telling them who we are and what we offer, it's more than the transaction. And that is the relationship. And the trust comes with it, because you're going to do an amazing job for them. They'll always remember you. Always.
All right. Harry Drake had a question, and I think it's worth asking. He said, are certain addresses where celebrities gravitate to, like 87 Park in Miami? And he mentioned Novak Djokovic. So are there certain addresses that you should be in any of these towns, be it Detroit or Miami or New York, where if you're good at that address, you're going to get celebrity and musician and athlete clients? Ian?
Yes. There's buildings I know that have basketball courts in them. There's buildings I know that have recording studios built into them. There's buildings.
Yeah, and you want to be paparazzi proof. There are definitely buildings, like Ian's saying, paparazzi proof. And
security is, yes, big time.
Love that. Yeah. Basketball even different cities. Paparazzi proof.
That's a
big thing. Buildings with porte de cochers where you can come in and you can privately go in and out very easily.
Yes.
Also.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And even different cities. Yeah.
All right. So, final thoughts, each of you. If you got a few thoughts, what did we learn today, Roberto? This is our final moments.
Like Lid said, they're just real. They're just people. They just come with a little bit more complexity, and you're dealing with a lot more people than just the talent themselves. I mean, I think it's, you know, we've all dealt with them, but it's just a little bit, you know, it's got a little bit more bling on it, and it's always just fun to be around.
I learned from Justin that there are certain things I can do to to make sure that if I want to be in that business, that I can do to put myself in front of them. I can go to those events and I can become, as Ian said, expert in those paparazzi proof buildings and those buildings with basketball courts and the amenities and close to an airport, those things that athletes and celebrities seek. So there are
like Lynn said, you got to put your body in that place. You have to be present.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're clear. Sitting in the lobby every day. Oh well, he's a
great show, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me,
guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And I guess we're in. I guess next week we're in Naples, where there are no athletes, maybe golfers, only golfers. Naples, Florida. Next week, final episode of the year. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Take care.
Justin, I'll be in touch.
All right. Take care, guys.
Me too.
Lynn, thank you for the invite, Lynn. I appreciate it. And John and Roberto for putting this on.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. Thank you, Justin.
Take care.
Thank you, Lynn. Mason, you were great. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Bye.